The continuation of the controversy in defense of essential oils, synergy, and intelligent design. For the love of science, can we stop the chit-chat on lavender, tea tree, and man boobs? Recently, the media got wind of a study that set essential oil lovers in a state of hormonal confusion. Again, this concern is not new. The scare was based on the reportings of an experiment that used isolated constituents found in tea tree and lavender oil. The conclusions were extrapolated from findings found in human cancer cells in a petri dish. The researchers reported that essential oils, which were not tested in their intact form, were potential endocrine disruptors. This was due to the effects of these constituents' actions on hormonal receptors and gene transcription activity in the cells. I provided a basic overview and summary of the issues that can be found in the link posted on my blog or in the audio above. I discussed how compounds in essential oils can have differing effects in petri dishes, living beings, and humans, that petri dish studies have not been conclusive, and how a previous scare stating that young boys would grow man boobs with certain essential oils was flawed. The cases that were highlighted were really related to consumer products that contain tea tree and lavender, not the therapeutic grade essential oils themselves. Now it's time to dive a bit deeper for those who wish to jump in with me. Come on in. The water is fine. More details on the study, isolation of constituents in petri dishes. For those who want more details on the actual constituents studied and the methods of the experiment, I put an excerpt from Science Daily that you can read about how they extracted 8 common compounds out of 100, and that these 8 chemicals demonstrated varying estrogenic and anti-androgenergic properties, with some showing high or little to no activity. And that from that, they said that the changes were consistent with endogenous or bodily hormonal conditions that stimulate gynecomastia, man boobs, and prepubescent boys. So in plain English, the researchers took 8 constituents out of hundreds, concentrated them, and placed them in a dish with human cancer cells. The conclusion that was because human cancer cells had changes in their gene activities of estrogen and androgen receptors, that the synergistic therapeutic essential oil would behave that way in the male body and cause them to get woman boobs. Research that isolates one compound from a natural source and generalizes it to the whole plant or substance in its whole form is rampant and misleading in the supplement and natural world. I discussed the pitfalls of this with vitamins in the link I provided. Similarly to how isolating and megadosing a vitamin and or mineral without considering the interacting and complementary components can create more imbalances or even harm to individuals, ignoring the synergism of essential oils and disregarding the complexity and intricacies of their natural design is also short-sighted. As I discussed in an article in Natural, published on the Naturopath website, as you can see, there is a complexity to essential oils. Essential oils contain a wide array of constituents, regardless of how they are classified. Essential oils have synergistic or differing therapeutic actions and mechanisms, which can support and balance out a body's biochemistry. Furthermore, one constituent can have multiple actions. For example, alcohols can be antimicrobial, antiseptic, tonifying, balancing, spasmolytic, anesthetic, and anti-inflammatory. Their chemical composition can also vary depending on the season of harvest and methods of extraction. A final intricacy of essential oils' actions to consider is the chemotype, or distinct plant population within the same species. These various populations produce differing plant secondary metabolites that have differing effects. There is also a difference in effects and processing between synthetic isolates formed in labs and those found in nature as pure essential oil constituents. I discussed this in a post and gave the example of wintergreen. Regarding the oil of wintergreen and toxicity, most toxic reports are based on its constituent methyl salicylate. I have a chemist friend who explained to me the difference between synthetic methyl salicylate and that found in wintergreen oil. He said methyl salicylate manufactured in labs is from salicylic acid. Chemists will add sulfuric acid and methanol, both toxic compounds that are isolated, to produce this methyl salicylate. It's a very different process than distilling wintergreen oil, and you can find a video about that on the post link that I provided. The estrogenic environment, plant compounds, synthetic hormones, the human being, and the petri dish. Plant estrogen's wisdom. Natural constituents are more likely to act as modulators or balancers and are selective in their response based on the estrogenic environment they are in. This may be why studies have been conflicting and confusing on phytoestrogens, compounds found in plants that share structural and or functional similarities to human hormones. I explained in a previous blog, the most widely accepted mechanism of phytoestrogens are their actions on estrogen receptors, with a high preference for estrogen receptor beta than estrogen receptor alpha. For this reason, phytoestrogens have mostly been classified as selective estrogen receptor modulators, or SERMs. Blocking excess activity of estrogen is too high and mimicking estrogen effects if estrogen is too low. However, phytoestrogens' activity isn't selective for these estrogen receptors alone, and there's evidence that other receptors related to estrogen response may also be at play. For example, it's been demonstrated that phytoestrogens can modulate aromatase activity and increase the production of sex hormone-binding globulin, both affecting estrogen availability. This may be one reason why studies are so conflicting on benefits versus risks. In other words, these multi-mechanistic actions of these compounds will act differently than isolates alone on estrogen and androgen gene activity. Furthermore, they will also have a different mechanism based on the level of hormones in the environment they are put in and how the effects are measured. I'll explain this now. The estrogen environment, cell, rodent, and humans. In a 2002 study, assessment of estrogenic activity in some common essential oil constituents, the authors explored that using different techniques to measure estrogenic effects demonstrated that what was found in petri dishes was different in yeast cells versus human cell lines. Furthermore, these findings could not be extrapolated to mice, a living creature. I bolded the conclusion, I'm going to read that to you now, but I left the abstract in full form for the curious on my blog. The potential in vivo estrogen effect of citral and geranol were examined in over-ectomized mice, but neither compound showed any ability to stimulate the characteristic estrogenic response of uterine hypertrophy or acute increase in uterine vascular permeability. These results show that very high concentrations of some commonly used essential oil constituents appear to have the potential to interact with estrogen receptors, although the biological significance of this is uncertain. In an article assessing the safety of lavender in pregnancy, Robert Tisserin notes that in rats, lavender was not a uterine stimulant and has been used safely in childbirth for humans. The research shows that lavender is not a uterine stimulant. When used on the isolated rat uterus, it is in fact reducing contractions, and lavender oil has no apparent adverse effects during childbirth. It was one of 10 essential oils offered to 8,058 women in an 8-year study at the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford, UK. Aromatherapy did, however, reduce the need for pain medicine. During the years of the study, the use of pethidin in the study center declined from 6% to 0.2% of women. The most important thing to remember about essential oils, ever. Summary. A quality essential oil will contain a vast amount of therapeutic constituents that your body can pick and choose from in order to rebalance its physiological processes. This is the concept of essential oil synergy and is one of the most amazing things about essential oils. I refer to it as their innate healing power. True, an essential oil will possess general properties based on its biochemical makeup, but factors such as your own genetic variances, microbiota diversity, and internal environment all influence its actions. You can read more about that in the link I provided. I also explained this more in part 2 of my epigenetic series. In it, I highlighted a study that reported on metabolomic markers that essential oils impacted. The researchers discovered that the biochemical pathways of individuals were differentially affected with the same essential oils. The metabolome is the collection of all metabolites from cellular processes in a cell tissue, organ, or organism. Essential oils seem to possess a knowing on exactly how they can help to balance the body in the way that it needs. I will be following up with more blogs that explore the hormonal effect of essential oils. I'm currently compiling studies and assessing the conclusions. Previous blogs and backgrounds on using essential oils to support healthy hormones can be found on the actual blog with the links that are provided. I also listed additional resources. These include Robert Tisserin's article, which explains why lavender oil is not estrogenic and how studies extrapolating this have a major dosing issue. Several studies which are based on lavender oil safety and consumer exposure to fragrance ingredients, the whole safety evaluation. Lindsay Elmore, the essential oil pharmacist, has a quick summary of the study which I just wrote about and her conclusions. She also has a Facebook video on the hormonal effects of essential oils and the controversies. She explores how most of the concerns for estrogenetic effects are in vitro studies or with rodents that pour essential oils into their hysterectomized uteruses to measure contractions. Sorry for the visual, I hate this, is done too. Essential oils are not without risk, but when used properly and with accurate dosing, they are very safe. And I also listed my article on safety, various controversies, the myths and facts of essential oils. My database for children and safety, the 2015 annual report of the American Association of Poison Control Centers National Poison Data System. Essential oils can be found on page 140. Blog with Robert Tisserand and safety, new evidence on the safety and dilution with cinnamon oil, and note the extrapolation with cinnamaldehyde, which could be a bias. Okay, guys, that's all for my information. I'll get off my soapbox now, and I leave you to enjoy your day. If you have any questions, please comment on my blog, and also feel free to reach out to either me, if you're a member of my oil teams, or the person that sent you this blog or audio. Have a great day.